Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Tonight I want to share a thought with you, and I just want to take a minute and thank God for the word. I want to thank him tonight for his goodness. I want to thank him tonight for every time that I've come short, that his grace was there for me. I want to thank him tonight for his mercy, how he looked down beyond my faults and brought me out of everything that I'd said, that I'd done, how his mercy has brought me to the very point that I am today. And I've just got to thank him for my healing. I've got to thank him for his goodness. I've got to thank him for raising me up every time that I wanted to lay down, every time I wanted to slumber. I thank him for waking me up to realize that I need him a whole lot more than I realize. To realize this takes knowing him. To realize this takes having a close walk with him. In church, if we're not being begotten by the word, if the word has no impact to you, hallelujah, you will feel lost and without direction, and you will feel like that you're just going abroad, not finding your way. But let the word of God bless you tonight. God opened this up to me in a way that I never understood it before, and I'm just going to take my sweet time because I never know the next chance I'll ever get. So we're going to start reading, and it says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Tonight, I want to talk about a very specific topic, especially in the month and the season of what the world calls giving. We love to give, right? Well, we used to. We love to help people, right? Well, oftentimes we don't have the time for it anymore. And the fact of the matter is, the less and less that we are staying before God for help, the more that we are affected by the trials of life, the longer that we go on day after day without seeking God for help, hear this, the heavier the burden will become to you. And as the burden becomes heavier upon you, you'll go about life missing those around you that needed you to have the love of God. And tonight, God wants to bring a very specific topic to this church, and that topic is compassion. When I read this sentence in the Word of God, the harvest tonight is those out there. I want you to understand this. When we're talking about the harvest is plenteous, that means that there is great potential out there for hope for people. And when Christ, when you read in the verses before, he went out and did absolutely everything that he could do. He healed those that were sick, and he taught in the synagogues, and he basically gave all that he had, all of his time, all of his finances, anything that he ever had, he gave it on behalf of others. If you could sum up the mission of Christ as man in the world, you'd have to say that it was compassion. Now, let me tell you something, you'll find something of worth to you when you'll give your time to it. You'll find something of worth to you when you give your time to it. Hallelujah, you'll find something of worth to you when you put your money towards it. You'll find something that's important to you when you find that everything that God gives you is going to that very thing. And sometimes it's not God that we give the most to, and sometimes it's not others that we allow ourselves to give to, but we try to heap up and pull in and acquire all the things of life to try to help us along the way. But let us not be deceived tonight. Bring some clarity to this. There is great potential out in the world for people to get to know Christ. But those that are willing to invest the time for somebody that needs compassion is few. Hallelujah. I see plenty of laborers in here tonight. I see plenty of people that can do a great work for the will of God. But that is not what this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about the number of laborers, but it's talking about those that will be willing to show compassion. You listen to me tonight. We may not have the most money in the world, but you have something that you can give to somebody else that when they get it, they become just as blessed as you are. I want you to know that there may be people sick around you, but they can be healed as you are healed. There are those that may be depressed, and you may not feel like you have an encouraging word, but I want you to know that there is great potential for somebody that will be willing to give what they have that God has given them. Hallelujah. When we hold off on giving people our talents and our gifts, the signs cannot follow you. Most of what I acquire in life has no worth to me unless I invest it in somebody else's life. Most of the time I devote in my life, if not all, is for God in some way. But I want you to know that you don't need to be caught up in the full-time job to let Christ become part-time to you. We have got to learn to use our time wisely before God. And we have to learn that as we seek Him, it stirs a compassion inside of our hearts. So for those that are hurting, that you will invest the time for them. Oh, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to have to. There are those that are hurting right now that we've already missed because we're in here tonight so weary from our own trials that we can't even give God any praise for what He's already done. And there's people out there that needed to be here, but we didn't have the compassion to ask them to get inside the doors. There are those right now that were looking for you to be there 2 weeks ago, and God already dealt with you, but you didn't have the time, or you didn't think you had the money they needed. Hallelujah. God can use a dollar to bless $1,000 dead if He just had somebody that would have some compassion. You may not think that you can offer much in the building up of God's church, but it's not in what you have, but it's in the love that you have to give what you've got. You're not going to be able to ever give everything you have and get a great blessing, but it's when you're willing to give all of it away, no matter how much it is. It may be a lot and it may be a little. You may have a great big shout, or you may have a whisper of praise, but can you imagine a church that would come together with a willingness to have compassion for the lost and just rose up and gave God the praise for what He's already done? I can't imagine what it'd be like to feel free in His anointing just by giving everything all that He's ever given me. If I've got a shout to give tonight, I'm giving it to the Lord. There's no other place I'd rather have it. There's no other place I'd rather be. There's no greater joy that I'd rather have than the joy of the Lord. The harvest is plenteous. There's great potential. But the willingness of us to be compassionate is few. It's little. Oh, if the world ever needed compassion, it's today. We have a tough economy right now, but don't you know that you can still bless somebody financially? We're in tough times, but you can still bless somebody beyond their expectations. We're not on the budget of this world. And I want you to know that when you truly give something from your heart, and you offer it before God, hallelujah, you won't care if you get it back in return. When you read throughout the Word of God, I'm happy to report I've finally finished my study, Genesis all the way through Malachi. And the one thing that I realized is that all through the Word, no matter He was providing wrath or if He was providing blessings, that God had love and compassion for man all throughout the chapters that you'll read. Oh, hallelujah, when they needed a way, He gave them the law. And when they strayed from the law, He gave them a prophetic word. And hallelujah, when they had strayed out too far and needed a little adjustment, He sent out His wrath. Hallelujah. And there was never a time that God did not have compassion for each one of us. And when He knew that it had become enough where the law was not enough, He sent Jesus Christ for each and every one of us, that the law would be fulfilled in our hearts. And if there's anything that we need to realize, is that though you may feel forsaken at times, that God had compassion on you so that you'd have a way out of no matter what it is
that you're going through, any temptation has already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Did you know that tonight? You are not bound to anything that God did not have compassion for to set you free from. There is nothing that you have that God cannot move in. Hallelujah. That there's not a thing that I have that God does not understand. That God does not understand. We've lost our respect for the house of God. We've lost our respect for the ministers of God. We've lost our respect for praise and worship. We've lost our respect for following the word of God and the covenant we abide by. It's not really that hard to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Seems like it may be hard, and it is, when you're not trusting in Him. But we've lost all respect for anything, because when we go out so far in what we face without God, we will not stand on our own. And I don't know if you are human like anybody else, but when you're going through something, you lose the ability to care as much as you did when you were feeling good. Somebody may be in debt around you, but you're going through your own debts. So when God begins to work on you to test you to what you'll give, you're not willing to give because you think you need it for your own debt. And we lose that ability to understand where compassion really came from. And one thing that God spoke to me in His Word was that Christ had compassion for a people when He walked as man. And hallelujah, that tells me that if Christ was able to walk as man and hurt and feel the same emotions that we go through, the same hurts that we go through, the same rejection that we face out in this world, if He could still have compassion on people that persecuted Him nonetheless, that tells me that I can walk in that same love of Christ and have compassion for everyone. Listen, there is a love of God that you can come to where you will not look on people and judge them. There is a love of God that you can walk into, that you'll love everybody and give everything you've got. Hallelujah. You don't have to sit around and judge a thing. When you put it in the hand of God, He'll give you love for it instead of the persecution of it. Let's read on. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. One thing that God began to deal with my heart about in the book of Zechariah, it goes on back. In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, it says, woe unto the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. To open this up in more of a plain spoken way, because it took me a little while to pray and understand this, there is a woe, a warning to those of us that have exercised compassion and have people about us that we care for, and we neglect them by not doing anything at all. You don't have to necessarily hurt people by doing something to hurt them. Just by doing nothing can sometimes hurt others. Now hear this tonight. If we're not using what God has given us to be able to help people find their way, then when the sword is on our own right arm, then we lose the ability to lead. And when our eye is darkened, we lose the ability to understand and to see where we're even going in our own life. So the best way that I can describe to you that we find compassion working best is when we're using it for those that God has given us. Some of us are looking for a ministry where we're going to lead hundreds or thousands. Some of us are looking for a day, a very specific day, where we're going to have all the circumstances perfectly in line. Some of us are looking for a church service where everybody gets up and shouts, and then you finally have the chance to shout, and you're going to get up and do it. But hallelujah, those moments may not come for you, and it's going to come a time when God is looking for your compassion to come out. You may see somebody go to the altar and nobody follow them, and the compassion will begin to bubble up in your spirit. We've lost respect for the altar, or every time somebody came up, we'd come up behind them. We've lost respect for our brethren. We've lost the ability to encourage one another because we're so bound up by our own things and what we go through that we lose being able to see the very needs that they have. And I want you to know this tonight, that if we don't learn to help each other through this walk, hallelujah, we're not going to be able to walk on our own. And I say that time and time again. And God gave me the pleasure of bringing out this in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, in the first verse. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of" what? "Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So the word of God, through the words of Paul, began to address that says, when you see somebody going through something, to help them in a spirit of humbleness. Heavenly, we're never going to lead anybody out of trouble if all that we do is tell them they're in trouble. We're never going to exercise compassion if we put the weight of what they've done on our shoulders instead of forgiving them and helping them along the way. And the truth of the matter is this, is that God could save the world if the world would learn to forgive it. We could be so much further than where we are if we would just begin just to simply love each other and look beyond what we know about one another, to look past our faults of what we've done in the past, to get past the fact that we come to church and worship together service after service. You know, the only way that you can desensitize yourself from being around the same people is to not hold the things that they've ever done in your spirit. God can't have a church where people come in and worship together all the time and it's not dry. I'm not going to argue about it. I know it for a fact. There is not a time that if you got down and sincerely prayed to God, that he would not stir your heart. There has never been a time that God had ever anointed a church to go through a dry place without his word and without help. There's never a time that you're going to feel dry and stay dry. Because the only time we ever feel that is when we're not showing compassion and when we're not receiving compassion. In the season of giving, I know that we want to wrap up things in a pretty bow and put things with name tags and try to buy all that we can, but I want you to pray sincerely about what you give this season. And if it's the last time you're around some cousins or sisters or uncles or aunts, that you make sure and show the true love of God to them, that they're able to understand where you stand in God and what you want them to do, and that is come out of what they're going through. Hallelujah. They may not like you. They may not love you after that, but then they'll know the truth. And that's the only way they'll be free, is by the truth. For by the truth, they shall be made free. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Thank God that we have each other. Thank God that we have each other. Thank God that we're able to help bear one another's burdens. Thank God that the person sitting next to you is here. Thank God that we're here with one another. Thank God that when the burden's too heavy, that something somebody would say or do would lift you up and encourage you. Man alive. Thank God for when we're down, somebody else can pick us up. Thank God that we have such a time as this, that when all of us are in weakness, that in our weakness that he is made strong. Thank God for the Spirit that can dwell in our hearts and amongst us, that when we are weak, that he is made strong. Thank God for the voice of a song, that when it is heard, that it brings encouragement to a weary soul. Thank God for the prophetic word, that when it comes, that it would encourage. Thank God. God for the Word of God and thank Him for the ministers that when we are weak and are in need of direction, that the Spirit comes by, oh, and lifts us up. Thank God for each and every one of you that when we come together, there is nothing that we face that we will not be able to endure, for in bearing one another's burdens, you then become strong enough to bear your own and will be able to be proven in the works that you accomplish. So if you're looking for something to do, look around you and see if there's something that you can help with. Find somebody weak, get a hold of them and say, let's go on and let's go forward and let's not perish here in the wilderness. Let me bless you. Satan would have you discard the value of the person right next to you because we get so familiar with one another and we get so familiar with the circumstance and we see each other when we're up and when we're down and we see each other in dry places and get tired of helping each other. But the Word of God says to forgive transgressions 70 times 7, hallelujah, or a number that is unimaginable to what you would normally forgive. If we don't learn to forgive one another and bear each other's burdens by helping each other, we're not going to be able to bear our own. If you bear one another's burdens, church, I'm telling you, and I know that you may not feel like you've ever been there and experienced that, but if you've ever prayed for anybody and the Spirit of God anoints you, you have just stepped into what that word is saying. If you've ever laid hands on somebody and felt healing go forth from you, then that was a time that you weren't investing in you, but you were investing in somebody else. The Word of God says, don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, because, hallelujah, we need to be in a compassionate, humble, meek state to where you ask in faith that it shall be done. We're going to have more respect for the anointing of God than we do. Hallelujah, we're going to have to learn that the power in our hands is greater than just maybe it'll work, maybe they'll be healed, maybe they'll go forth delivered. You've got to realize that if you don't have compassion for the person you're praying for, you might not hold your hand on them, but you've got to stir in your heart and realize that their pain is just the same as your pain. And when you finally link up with their spirit, God will reveal to you the hurt that they're going through, and you'll be able to cry out sincerely and humbly for them. It'll be more than just reading a card for salvation. And it'll be more than just letting them pass you by on the way to the altar and as you stand idly by wondering what it is that you can do. God's bringing understanding for some of us in this place right now. If you're wondering what it is that you can do when somebody goes to the altar, it's to begin to seek God closely that you can offer something to help in that prayer. Now, I don't know if it would just be saying, Lord, help them, or just letting your mind not be distracted by other things, but God cannot move in a prayer that is praying amiss without unity and with distraction. You've got to be in one mind to operate in the gifts of faith. You've got to be in one accord before you ever see the power of God be able to move on somebody. We want to cast out devils, but we don't want to have compassion. You're not going to cast out a thing in anger or in wrath, because God moved for us, not in wrath, but in love and compassion. And you will not cast out anything until you're compassionate for the very need that they have. If you got a problem with drug addicts, you're going to have to get your heart right to be able to pray for drug addicts. I know they've stolen from people, and I know that they've done many things that's wrong people, but I once walked as a drug addict, and I once did those things just as well, and I wronged people, and I hurt people. But don't you know that at some point in time, somebody finally looked past my flaws and said, God, I know what he's done, but Lord, I see the potential in the harvest. I see that there is great potential for this life. I see the hope and the breath of life coming up out of him. The very ministry that I have today is because somebody had compassion, reached out and made a way for me when I was not able. You've got to bear somebody else's stuff before you're able to carry your own. You were saved by compassion, and it was made the way through grace. Christ coming to the cross was the very peak of God's empathy for our inability to control sin. Christ, I often wonder why his life ended at such an early age. But God saw the magnitude. Those that were religious were more aggressive in the putting down of those that were spiritual than those that had no idea what was going on. The battle in most churches today isn't even against atheists or even trying to win the lost, but it's trying to please the religious that keep coming in time and time again, that saying, well, that's not how I praised God back then, so that's not how I'm going to praise God now, and that's not the way that I appreciate the Word of God, so I'm not going to support it. Christ still had compassion for a people that was religious, and though they knew the law, did not care about what was important. He walked in the poor villages where those that were religious did not dwell. He went into shacks and got rid of the distractions, and Jairus' daughter was healed. He went by places where blind men cried out, and the gate laid out in the street, nobody's looking at him, and said, Jesus! And he heard them. Though they was poor and barren people, he sat down and dined with those that weren't able to put crumbs together. Oh, hallelujah. He dined with the unclean, and he loved the lost, and he loved those that had been through some things. Because he loved them and had compassion, they then had a way out. Some of us may not agree with this statement, but I'd rather not have much and know how to use it than to have a great big lot and lose it. You can have all that you want in the anointing of God, but let me tell you, if you want to be able to sing and preach and prophesy and be able to operate in gifts that will be successful, you're going to have compassion, which means that life is no longer going to be about you anymore, and you're going to have to put you away and say, God, though I may, hallelujah, perish, that if somebody else will get a little bit of life out of me, then that's what I'm here for. That's what the basis of ministry is all about. It's not about you, but what you can bring through compassion. Don't ever sit under a preacher that's not preaching in compassion, but let them know that there has got to be love in the Word of God. Don't agree with somebody just because the Word is true. Discern them for compassion and see if they really care about people or if they care about themselves. That's what the Bible refers to as false prophets. They speak encouraging words, but it is of none effect. Yet because we hear the encouraging words, we are then deceived because we do not see the lack of compassion that somebody has. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to put this out here and raise the bar for some of us that are in the ministry. Here it is. If you don't have compassion, don't start trying to preach till you seek God to have a greater love. God will never put you in the pulpit that you'll ever have anything against anybody. You ever heard a preacher preach against something just because he had a problem with somebody? I know I have. It literally feels like when people are preaching that it is pressing down. And that is what religion will do to people. If you sit under a religious preacher for long enough, you'll feel just like the Pharisees tried to make Jesus feel, that he was condemned to die. They even called him a devil once. They tried to use every excuse they could to put his ministry out of the way. But God's favor through him let him walk where nobody else could walk, and to see the need that nobody else could see, and die for a people undeserving, that though they had a law that they could abide in, failed in it nonetheless, and gave us today the means to be able to endure the temptations of the devil. There's nothing that you're tempted of that God did not give you victory for. There's not a thing that you're going to face out here that God did not give you the ability to overcome. We're made overcomers. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of what you've been through. This is a time when we've got to draw close to God. And I often have asked God in the past, but now I know better. But I've asked God in the past, Lord, how is it that I'll know for sure that I'm walking in your will? How is it, God, that I will know when I'm doing what is right? And God spoke it very plain to me. When we love the Lord God with all of our heart, all our soul, and our mind, and our strength, and you find yourself loving your neighbor as you love yourself, then you'll know.
You won't have to ask a preacher. You won't have to ask a deacon. You'll know. Because when you're trying to help other people, if you're ever trying to help anybody, you're already satisfied with the goodness of God. If you already love God first, then everything you ever needed is going to be supplied. And when you find yourself concerned for others, you'll know that you're walking in the will of God. And God may raise you up one day to be over a church or over a choir or over a Bible study or over teaching children or over being a witness in your family get-togethers. But God will raise you up to have compassion for somebody. They may be living with you right now. They may be giving you the worst of trouble and you think there's no hope, God. I can't see it. But if you just have compassion on them, you'll forgive them every time they say something ill on you and you'll let it go roll off your... Man, I feel God. You'll let it roll right off your back every time that they would doubt, in their heart and try to make you doubt that they're never going to change. But you hear this revelation tonight. If you don't learn to bear their burdens when they're not able to bear them, then you're never going to be able to know what it feels like to be blessed in the will of God. So you may not have kids, and you may just be coming and saying, God, where is my place in the house of the Lord? Let me tell you, God's taking applications for those that'll step into the altar and put themselves out of the way and say, God, your will for their life. He's taking applications for ministers that won't preach religion, but will preach out of love for people that need it. He's taking applications. The laborers are few. The willingness is little. But God's looking for somebody tonight that's going to say, yes. Yes, God, it's me. It took Peter denying Christ over and over again before he understood what his real walk was. Religion can cause you to be afraid of what you are. And you may go visit places that absolutely condemn you to die over your obedience. But I want you to know that Christ faced that same persecution in his walk. Moses faced it in a great and mighty way. Elijah faced it in a mighty way. Elisha faced it in a mighty way. And if you ever read about some of the prophetic word that went over Nineveh in that time, I can't imagine going to bed after saying some of the things that God laid on somebody's heart. Can you imagine Jonah's ride in the whale? It wasn't a good one, but he had to come to realize he had to have compassion for a people and a nation and a place that even though they weren't going to hear it, that God's will for him was that he went out and gave them the word irregardless. That's what keeps me preaching, irregardless of what I see. That's what keeps me singing, irregardless of the response. That I know that when I hold my hand out for God, that somebody may just get a hold of it and change their life. If you want somebody to come and preach religion, there are a dime a dozen. But if you get somebody up here that preaches that we need to love more, we might as well throw them out. It's sad but true. And let me tell you, you can preach about some things that need to change in people's lives without having to preach it in wrath. And you won't have to argue with them. And you won't have to beg and plead with them. But out of the love in your heart, you'll know just what to say. You'll know just what to do. And if you're ever wondering if a word is for you or not, hallelujah. And if you're ever wondering if those that are preaching are walking in the will of God, I want you to know this, that the first thing that you need to look for is the love in their heart. If the love is wax cold in them, hallelujah, it may sound good, but when you try to chew on it, it'll be like a steak that's 7 days gone bad. Hallelujah, you'll chew on it and it'll process, but it's going to make you sick because religion is a poison that will destroy a child of God. If the Pharisees were enough to be able to keep a nation, Christ would not have come. So if religion and what we wear and how we conduct ourselves and just living righteous was enough, Christ would not have come. But yet he saw that just knowing how to live and what to say would not be enough for us to be able to say no to temptation. It was not enough. And he had to send Christ so that we have a way of escape. And when you think a way of escape, imagine a temptation that's before you and you know you shouldn't. And then the Holy Ghost quickens you and you flee from it. That is the way of escape. You're never going to find a trial that you can run away from. You can run as hard as you can and you can get away from it today, but God will see that you are proven in that trial. How many of us have been through the same thing with a different face and a different name? And God's still waiting on us to get over that hurdle the right way. Not to go around it, not to dig a hole underneath it and go under it, but to go right on through it. I've been through many of those. Different venue, different people, but the same old feeling. Different workplace, different boss, same old feeling. And God had to be proven in my ability. Can you imagine how hard it is to have compassion for somebody that is belittling what you can do at your job? But I deserve to be upset. Therapists will tell you, you are entitled to your feelings. But we abide in the Word of God, which separates us by saying, to forgive those. That doesn't always go over well. But I want you to know that just because you have the feeling did not ever mean that God wanted you to keep the feeling. You may be entitled to how you feel, but if you want victory, you will show compassion and forgive them. There wouldn't be as much divorce if people would preach it that way and tell them that, oh, if you feel that way and that's the way you feel, just hit the road. They didn't need you anyway. If we learn to show some compassion, that may just be the very day their life is saved. Families torn apart, things broken from a lack of compassion, churches uprooted, religion and how people don't like a certain preacher tears them apart, lack of compassion. So tonight as we come to a close, I want you to know, in this season of giving that the world is in, this may be your only opportunity of the year to give a present that says something to them to the magnitude of, I love you, I'm compassionate for you, and there's a way out for you. You may not be able to rub two nickels together. Give somebody a sincere hug. A love of God, Holy Ghost filled hug. And just tell them that you love them. And just see the difference that it'll make for them. And I want you to know tonight that I can never preach without having compassion for people that are in trouble. You'll find yourself in a dry place if you ever try to. You've got to know that other people are going through things just like you are. And people are facing struggles, even that we do not see. And we've got to love people irregardless of what they do, how they act, what they say. You've got to worship God in the fullness, whether people stand up, sit down, shout, don't shout. You've got to worship and show compassion for them nonetheless. If you're the only one that ever comes up and prays for somebody, you've still got to go up and do it when everybody else would forsake them. Because when you bear somebody else's burden, hear this revelation. It's a revelation. It's something that if you get a hold of it, it will change your life. If you learn to help other people before you would even try to help yourself sometimes, the power of God will deliver. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. You know how it's easy? When you have a group of believers that helps each other. Something that is heavy would become light. I said, God, thank you for opening up that mystery to me. The load can become light when there are others that walk together. There were disciples that were just walking along the way, and they said words such as this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What is it that they had? They had compassion for somebody that was suffering. Such as I have, I invest into you. Church, such as you have. Such as you have in your heart, invest it to somebody, then you will feel God's love help you carry your burden. Invest in your church. Invest in praise and worship. Show the singer that you love them by standing up and praising God and saying they're singing and they've got heavy burdens. And they're offering something. And I'm just going to stand up, God, and worship you. Because they're willing to step out and sing for you. And when you hear people preaching the Word of God as you feel it stirring you, rise up and help them. Because my life, although God helps me, is not always easy. And do you don't think for a second that I'm able to preach without you helping me. We're all flesh and blood, and we all have battles that cause us to have a need for God's love working. No greater way that you can show somebody you care about them but by helping them. You don't have to put a sign on the highway that says, I love you this much, and you don't have to give everything, every dime that you have to even prove to somebody that you love them. But just taking time to show God's love. God's love. God's love will cause you to hug them and say, I know you're going through a struggle, but something's got to give.
It'll cause you to tell them the truth. Because the difference of preaching with religion and preaching as anointed by the Holy Ghost is the love that you'll have for somebody, regardless of if they take it or not. When Christ was on the cross, he was amidst a people that did not want him to live. Yet in spite of that, he bore our sin. Yet in spite of that, he helped us by making a way through his death and his suffering, that as we stand today, we have victory and the ability to be Christ-like. You're not going to be Christ-like in the way that you're going to be perfect about everything. To be Christ-like is to be full of compassion and love for others. It'll cause you to walk in a church that's suffering and pour into them all that you have, not getting anything in return. It'll cause you to visit and sing somewhere that hasn't heard an anointed song in so long they forgot what it was, and leave it with them for them to know that there's a greater hope. It'll cause you at Christmas to get up and read the Christmas story to kids that may not ever hear it or may not ever know it. Take that time for somebody in this month. I know that everybody will spend more than they should have, but just take time to pray and say, Lord, is there an opportunity through what you can give me that I'm able to bless somebody? A church isn't about a gathering of people that's religious. You see a church come alive when there's tragedy, and the first responders is the church. And you see Jesus shine greatest when everybody else casts them away, but churches come together. I love you tonight, and I hope that you take this word with you and sow it into your heart. And just use it as a way to examine yourself. This is a little teaching nugget right here. Use it as a way to sort of judge where you are in the will of God. If you lack compassion, you need more humbleness. If you lack compassion, you need to draw closer to God.